Auburn basketball has ventured on its own odyssey. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman. Thank you for tuning in to this episode on the Barn Podcast Network. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to your podcast and on YouTube. Or you should hit the like button as well. Don't miss an update from any of the great shows. Here's we lead into kickoff of the football season, and Auburn basketball is in Greece for its foreign tour. Now, the NCAA has allowed those to happen every year now for teams, and the Tigers are taking advantage of that and going overseas to play some games and really bond. That's the most important aspect to this trip. So we'll break all that down, what the goals are here, the games that are being played, what's important about them, and what we hope to see here from the trip over to Greece. As again, this is something that you don't get every year, even though it's going to be allowed more. Teams won't be doing this every year. It's a very expensive trip to bring as many staff members and players and everyone in between overseas to do this. And there's a reason Auburn decided to do it this year. It's because they want to take advantage of this team and this opportunity when they can and jump on it as soon as possible to bond as quickly as possible, to learn about themselves as quickly as possible, and be ready whenever the season tips off when we get to November. So this is really, really something that the last time we saw it, Auburn was in Israel facing the Israeli national team and the under-17 team, and that was leading into the 2022-23 season. That year, Auburn ended up as an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament, beating Iowa in the first round and falling to the top seed at Houston Cougars in the round of 32 up in Birmingham. And that year was also a team that was, quite frankly, dealing with a lot of injuries and just never came together. The defense wasn't there. That's something we've discussed before, and how this team this year, that is going to be one of the more important aspects to how they succeed, is defense, defense, defense. And again, you can go back to probably any of our previous episodes, and that is probably a major topic of discussion, is how the defense has to improve for Auburn to improve this year. And that's that. Listen, that's not news to anybody. It's definitely not news to Stephen Pearl, who was the defensive coordinator over the last several years when he wasn't the head coach. And those defenses were top 10, top 5 in the nation, for it to fall off to really mediocre and bottom of the SEC is not the standard of this program. So this trip to Greece, how can that help this team grow and really build that chemistry, but also just, again, just go and get your feet wet and play a real basketball game for the first time for many of these guys since the NIT championship, specifically Tahai Pettiford and Kevin Overton and other guys, even longer ago than that. So they've obviously been practicing. They've been together in Auburn for quite some time now. This group knows each other now, but this is a different beast of international travel. Anyone who's, I've never traveled out of the country, but I went to the Maui Invitational a few years ago when Auburn was in it, and that's nearly an international flight, but it's such a beast. And when you're on that trip with a group or someone else that you know, you're going to bond together. And that's definitely the case when it really gets down to it of the team really learning how they're going to play basketball together, but also how they're just going to coexist together. So just really looking forward to what we hear from it. Unfortunately, there won't be any streaming of the games, any video streaming, no broadcast. So we're going to rely on social media. There, I'm sure the Auburn men's basketball camp will be posting plenty of clips online of these games that we'll get an idea of how these guys look and how they play together, but also box scores. So something else that we'll do an episode early next week, breaking down what we learn. Since we won't be able to watch it, we're just going to have to kind of speculate a little bit based off, like I said, I assume we'll see a box score from both the games. So the games that I'm referring to will take place tomorrow and Sunday against the Serbian club, KK Mega Superbet. And that's going to be a huge test for Auburn. Just facing a professional team is always a challenge. Again, I referenced a few years ago when Auburn went to Israel, and Auburn got knocked around a little bit against those national teams. And I think that's there's nothing wrong with that. So excited to learn how those games go and hear about it and discuss it. But let's focus on kind of what you want to get out of this. Why is Auburn doing this? What is the reason for this? And it just goes back to, I think last year's team was not it didn't click. It never clicked. And while it might have for a game or two, it was never consistent. You had those stretches of really the 5-game losing stretch. Again, I continue to reference is what cost Auburn's tournament spot last year. And many will point towards the Ole Miss game at home or the Mississippi State and Oklahoma games on the road. But I do think that the reason those games went the way they did is because the team just spiraled when it lost to Tennessee, then Alabama, then Vanderbilt and Arkansas. All that just really turned into just this terrible path that they just never recovered from, and were unable to get back, get their feet underneath them until the NIT. And that was good to see that they responded in the tournament, and it wasn't the NCAA tournament, which they obviously wanted to be in. So that needs to continue, whether it's Taha Pettiford and Kevin Overton keeping up that momentum that is obviously from 4 months ago now. But then, all right, let's talk about Thomas Dowd and George Kimball III and Owen Freeman and Adam Olson. These guys that Buki Oboye, they're coming from different schools. Some of them mid majors, some of them high majors, but they want to prove why Auburn brought them in and show their skill set to this coaching staff. And anyone else that's there watching, that they're capable and that they're ready for the season to pick up and they're going to be ready to win for Auburn. So that's part of it. Then you got the Narcisse Ngois and the Montez Roops, the Vicious of the world, where hey, we don't even know how they're going to compete in college basketball at all. We know George Kimball III and Thomas Dowd and Owen Freeman and Buki Oboye and Adam Olson can compete in Auburn basketball. Just looking at the notes, you can kind of see their numbers and what they did last year, that they're capable. It's just got to be consistent and got to deliver at the SEC and high major level. Whereas Rustavicius and Ngoy, yeah, Ngoy won Defensive Player of the Year in the French Elite 2 League. That's not the same level as high major college basketball. Montez Roops-Devicius, he really doesn't have great numbers because he played on such a great team in Lithuania, and that's going to be very important to remember. And these guys are going to learn about each other. They're going to learn about this coaching staff, and this coaching staff is going to learn about its players. And that's where I go back to, all right, this team is going to play high pace. We've seen that in the practice clips that have been posted online. We know that just kind of from how Mike Burgemaster likes to run his offense. And that's very important for, I think, a team in the SEC to be able to play high pace. You don't have to do it 100% of the time. You don't have to be Alabama in the way that they run their system, but you've got to be able to match that. You've got to be able to up the intensity against a team that doesn't necessarily want to play fast. Tennessee, a prime example, a team that historically is slowing the pace and does not and wants to play as the least amount of possessions as possible, uses physicality and its size and its defensive ability. A lot of the time, it's better to get them out of their comfort zone, and that's what this team, I think, the goal is for them to do, is to play in all facets of the way, but more times than not, they're going to be up and down the floor, quick pace, and it's got to be smart shots, and that's something that I think Auburn fell in love with last year, were some of those my turn shots, and that's something that cannot happen again this year. And with that, we'll be testing different rotations and segments of the game, I think, these next 2 weeks or these next two games. I don't think we're going to have any way to know really who's on the floor with who because of there not being any streaming. I doubt there might be some kind of live play-by-play on the Auburn men's basketball release on auburntigers.com. There are a couple of links to follow to be able to go behind the scenes. I just don't think it's going to bring stats or anything like that that would be really helpful to understand the rotations that Coach Pearl and Coach Burgemaster and Coach Bowman really want to throw out there, as that's what I'm most interested in. I think we're just gonna have to wait until the exhibition games here in the States. First of all, obviously, in Birmingham against Florida State, I go back to the double big lineup. I feel pretty confident they're gonna try and test Boki Oboye and Narcisse Ngoi on the floor at the same time. If you can put 2 7-footers out there at the same time and be successful, you got to do it. And that can work in high major basketball against the SEC, against the best teams in the nation. So they got to be able to work together. Then it comes down, all right, how much will Thomas Dowd and Adam Olsen split between the 3 and the 4 on the wing and at the 4 spot? That's something they're going to have to figure out. Is George Kimball III going to be able to play with Tahad Pettiford on the floor? Is Tahad Pettiford going to be able to slide down to the 2 with Kimball III at the 1? All these things are scenarios and rotations and substitutions that they're going to have to test out and figure out. Like, who does Caleb Williams work the best with? How are you going to get him meaningful repetitions? First of all, in this foreign tour, in the exhibition, but then even when you get to the non-conference slate, when you're playing some of those bye games against mid-major teams and you're up by hopefully 20 to 30 points and you're able to bring in those guys that need to get that experience like Williams and Simon Walker, just again, learning the system and developing them and getting them ready. That's what this is all about. And that's what I don't know. I have no idea what this weekend might look like as far, like when we get that score, that final score back, who knows how Auburn is going to look from that aspect, because this, I have not researched this KK Mega Superbet team at all. I couldn't tell you who is on the team, if they're any good or anything like that. Auburn's going to get 2 chances against them. And it might not look pretty whenever you get this box score back, but it also might be really encouraging, and it might be a little bit of a false glimmer of how good they might be. But I hope it's obviously on that side of things. So overall, this is a very important 10 days for this group that they're in the midst of before they return to campus for classes to start and then really hit the ground running with practice to get ready for that exhibition game against Florida State in which that's the real start of things where you're game planning, you're getting ready to face opponents, real opponents. And that's the case this weekend. So just it's going to be an incredible experience for them. Just in general, Greece is obviously a beautiful place to visit. It seems like the weather is awesome right now from the social media posts that they've pushed out. So they're all enjoying themselves and having a good time. And like I said, the bonding, I think, is just what has to happen for this team to be successful and understand how they're going to coexist on the basketball court and in real life together as the season goes on. So also the transitioning to another topic, feels like we're talking about a different court ruling every single week, but this one is the 5-5 rule. And there was an injunction granted where players that were in the high school class of 2022, assuming they entered the portal. There's a couple of ways that they might not be able to, but there are players that are going to be able to come back and play another year. And we're talking about one that we're familiar with. But I'm going to start with there was some circulation about Auburn being involved in conversations with some of these players. So the question is that going to happen? I don't think so. I think that those conversations were just had just because, hey, look, if you can add somebody, why not? But I don't think there was a significant push to do that. Some of the guys include Cameron Fins. He's a South Dakota big, really good last year. Doug McDaniel, a Memphis guard, and then Dan Skilling's a Baylor guard. Those were the three guys Auburn was linked to earlier in the week when this injunction was granted and everyone kind of realized what was happening. But I don't think anything will come to fruition. That being said, if it does, I think it will certainly be a wing, because right now your only true wing that, like, hey, that's your guy is Montez Roots-Tavishas. So you could probably use someone behind him to really just add depth there. We know that Thomas Dowd and Adam Olsen are probably capable there. Maybe even George Kimball III. He's a little small for that, but that's the one area that when I look at this roster, I wish there was one more guy behind Montez to really provide that depth, especially with the question mark. Hey, look, he's never played high major college basketball. Like that's a big deal. But overall, I think this roster is set. I think Coach Pearl and the rest of the staff is very happy with where it is and don't really want to screw that up, quite frankly. That just putting it bluntly, it's going to be a case by case basis, I'm sure, if they're seriously considering adding somebody. There's also the aspect of if those guys are even actually going to be eligible. There's something with football where those fifth years trying to come back from the class of 2022, they had to enter the portal back in January. I would imagine it'll be the similar scenario for basketball, but that remains to be seen. It's always a mess when it comes to that. The familiar name in the portal and probably going to find out where his destination is soon is Keyshawn Hall. He's one of those that graduated high school in 22 and he's looking for a new home after not getting drafted, not getting a professional contract. He wants to come back and play college basketball for another year. And it's interesting because it looks like it's going to be Kentucky or St. John's. And obviously two teams that one is Kentucky, which Auburn's very familiar with, blue blood, all the above, Mark Pope, really looking to try and add some flavor to the team of he knows he needs talent. He knows he needs to win, new AD, et cetera, that he the pressure's on for Mark Pope. So there's that. And then the St. John's side of it, where Rick Pitino has elevated that program to heights it hasn't seen in 40 years and looking to continue that. And I'd be very interested to see how Hall fits into either of those teams and rosters. I'm a little more familiar with Kentucky's roster than St. John's, but I just don't know if it translates at Kentucky. I do think when you look at St. John's and the fact they lost Zubi Ejiofor, he can kind of fill that void. They're a little bit different players, but they're similar in certain ways. So I think that can make a lot of sense. It'll be interesting to see what decision he lands on, and again, quite frankly, if he's even actually eligible or not. That is a question that remains to be seen for so many of these guys, and it's why these situations that arise and when these injunctions are granted, it is such a disaster. I mean, it really is, because we're in August and there's basketball and football teams. The fact that there are college football teams still looking to add to their roster and they have a pot to choose from, it's not – there's obviously one-off situations that happen. It is what it is. But this is legitimately – there's dozens of players that are looking for a new home, and teams are going to suit them. And obviously, I can't blame them. If there's a good fit, you go and get them and put them on the roster. So going to be very interesting to see how all that pans out. And if it works out for Keyshawn Hall and any of these other guys that are trying to come back for that fifth season that they've been granted through a judge and through a circuit court, and the NCAA can't do anything about it. So that's going to do it for today. So what we're going to do, not going to react, obviously, to the games that we can't see. We're just not going to do that. I think what we'll just do is put it all together and we'll talk about it early next week, maybe Monday. If those results come in early enough on Sunday, and just break down what we speculate and what we see on social media and what we hear from overseas and in Greece. So for that, make sure you are subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network on YouTube. Hit that like button as well, and wherever you listen to your podcast, so you don't miss any of the updates as more and more news is going to flow out. Hopefully we'll get a non-conference schedule soon, be able to talk about that in depth a little bit more. Again, that Arizona game has been set November 13th, and that was announced by the Wildcats on social media about a week ago. So we're starting to piece it together, but yet to be released by Auburn officially. So we'll see when that comes out and break it all down when we get to that point. So once again, thank you for tuning into this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast.